The What Ifs and The Sure Haves Will Eat Your Brain by John O'Callaghan. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories. Thank you all for listening us and for your lots of love and reviews. And if you really like our show, please don't forget to subscribe and follow us on various platforms, so that you will get our episodes every week without any interruptions. And now let's begin episode number 6 of the Expert Dale podcast. And today we have a guest from United Kingdom. Today we are going to discuss a special topic of passion and the essence by which one can acquire all of the liveliness in his life. We are going to discuss tools, skills and useful ideas which are really enormous when you implement in your life and can feel the magic around you. The man who is joining us today is the remarkable human being and fabulous dancer who have performed in many movies and TV programs. Also, he is renowned entrepreneur and founder and director of the Indigo Blue Media and Event Production Company, which have clients from all around the world and including many in multinational companies and well-known brands and businesses. I personally believe that human potential is limitless, but having potential is not always same as actually doing something with it. So our goal here is to get some extraordinary and life-changing skills and idea from our today's guest, who have made his own fortune by his relentless efforts, developing mindfulness and celebrating gratitude towards the world and following his intuitions. Let's flow together into the ocean of the true human potential and come up with the splendid pearls of our own identity with our guest, Mr. Graham Wadsworth, who is joining us from UK and delivering his life anecdotes in order to show his gratitude towards the humankind. I am getting impatient to talk with Graham and learning more things from him. Welcome, Gray, to my show at Expert Dale Podcast.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. And I feel vibrant and so excited to get ahead with our today's talk. And let's start for today's talk. And I want to start this beautiful conversation with a legendary quote that success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I know that you have that courage, and that's why your company is growing despite of many resistance. So please let us know about your company first, the mission and the vision of it. And also give me the brief explanation about your clients and how you provide them a world-class services with your company.
Sure. So I run a creative communications company, which normal speak is basically a film production side to the business, a live events business, which obviously hasn't been running since March and probably won't get going much before the end of this year. And we also have a training and development division. And we combine those three to essentially serve multinational corporations, so some of the biggest companies in the world globally, and all the way down to small and medium businesses. And we're helping people to communicate effectively and essentially effectively with themselves, first of all, and then their colleagues, and then out to their clients. And so at the moment, although a lot of our business, the live side of the business has slowed down almost to a trickle, we're still doing virtual events. We're still in contact with our clients, and we're still providing them with training, development. And also, we're taking all of that personal development knowledge and putting it online onto websites, and we're sharing it around social media, just to help support people at a time when a lot of people need just a few tools, tips, techniques to help them get through what are very challenging times at the moment.
I got you. And it's really noble work that you are doing right now. You have a media production company. You are joining with mindfulness and to distributing to the world so that they can help themselves by your ideas from your website.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. And also I would like to say that though, to help and by making the last long memories, you are impacting on human life. So it sounds really interesting. And I also believe that the spirit and the ethos that you have established for your company is like remarkable. And I always fascinated to think about the process by which a common man, like we all, the common man can do some uncommon things in his life and achieve the stage which seems impossible to others. And I have seen your videos about the personal development, the true human potential, and also the productivity. And I want to know more about it. So first, let me give us some anecdotes of your past, or I can say the early career, that how did you start your professional life and establish your company? And also, I want to know more about that, how this ethos and the vibrations came inside you.
Yeah, so a quick whistle-stop tour of my life, I guess. So just to give you a sense, I like the idea of the common people doing uncommon things. And to really highlight that, I was never academically driven when I was at school. I was quite clever, but never really interested. I wasn't taught in a way that really intrigued me. I managed to find myself working as a business analyst at the age of 19, sat in front of a computer all day. And at the age of 21, I realized that wasn't going to be my life and my lot for my life. So I took an unconventional career move. I went back to college to retrain as a professional dancer. Mm-hmm. And I trained there for 3 years. And on my 24th birthday, as it was, I was flying out to Vienna to take on my very first professional dance job. And obviously there's stories around that. I guess we can go into that in a little while. Mm-hmm. I danced on stages, TV, films around the world for about 12, 13 years. It was absolutely my passion. And it's an overused word in the personal development world, but it really does describe what I felt about it. I was living my dream. It was an incredible career. I had the opportunity to see some amazing places, work with some incredible artists. Mm-hmm. And I was exactly as you described. I was just a common man doing an uncommon thing. But I believe that we can all do those uncommon things. Yeah. And that's what I try and help people with now. And it's taken me a little while to get to where I am. Mm-hmm. Dance, of course, is a short-lived career, and obviously you can't keep putting your body through those stresses. Mm-hmm. So in my mid-30s, I left dancing full-time, and I started the business that I'm currently running, mm-hmm. working in a similar sort of entertainment field, but this time for the corporate market, for the business market. And that business has grown and grown and developed and gradually has evolved into this creative communications agency that it is today. But in the last few years, particularly, we have really focused much more around helping people to develop themselves and their mindsets as they grow as individuals and within their business.
I got you. So you started your career from the dancing, or I can say the first one, the business analyst, then you dropped that, you started dancing, and then after it's a business market. And right now, after getting almost like 25 to 30 years of experience from all the corporate world, passion world, and TV and art industry, you are celebrating to give them to the world. Okay, I understand. It really sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Yeah.
Yeah, it is so. And I think I can learn a lot more by your experience. And hence, let's go quick and let's begin with the very early stage. As you have said that you was a business analyst, and then you just left it and started something that gave you the true joy, the passion. But I believe that as an entrepreneur, this journey of transformation really, really very critical, hard, and with full of struggle. So what about you? How did you do that? And please illuminate that the days when you feel the creativity that you are doing with yourself, but also feel the pain of the struggle, the hardship, and relentless efforts and many other difficulties. How do you cope with that?
Yeah, the world that I went into gives you massive highs and lows. Let's go back to when I was a business analyst. So I was 19 years old. Like I say, I was sat in front of a computer in an office. Almost immediately, I looked around for something to do to keep me fit, really. I mean, that's essentially how it started. And I found myself just phoning up a local dance studio. And I think I said to them at the time, you know, I just want to look cool in a nightclub, you know. So I was young and I wasn't creating high art at that point. Mm-hmm. And over the next 18 months or so, I was taking more and more classes, just doing them in the evenings and the weekends, and just found that that passion for dance just grew inside of me. At one point, I found a full-time school about 30 miles away from where I lived. I took a couple of classes there one weekend. Mm-hmm. And at the end of those classes, there was something inside me that really, really clicked. And I went and spoke to the teacher and I said, look, I think I need to dance. And she said, yes, I think you do too. And that was it. I quit my job after 2 years and trained there for 3 years. And I was 21 years old. By that time, I'm already behind the curve because, of course, most people in this business start at 6 or 7 or whatever. They start seriously training at about 16. I was already 5 years behind that, and I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. So I was working, training there 6 days a week, you know, 12, 14 hours a day, working bar jobs and working, you know, whatever hours I wasn't dancing, I was working to pay for it. And that's that was a challenging moment. I had a conversation with my mum, because of course my perception of what I did was very different to everyone else's, and particularly my mother. I went back to her at one point when I'd made this decision, and I said, you know, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go off and become a professional dancer. And she went into that natural state that every mother goes into, but most of us have in ourselves, is that protective state. That it's that prehistoric brain, isn't it, trying to protect us and keep us safe. And so she came up with, you know, 100 different ways that I might fail, and this is the most ridiculous idea anyone's ever had. And she came out with this stream of what ifs. You know, what if you don't make it as a dancer? What if you're not good enough? What if you get injured? What if you can't make enough money? What if? What if? What if? And she was doing it out of the kindness of her heart to look after me and protect me as best she could. And I didn't have any answers. I actually said to her, "Look, Mum, I don't have any answers for you. All I know is this: what if I get to the age of 40 and look back on my life and wonder what if?" It's actually become the title of the book that I'm writing. I'm calling it What If, based on that story. And I didn't have the presence of mind at the time, or maybe even the knowledge or mindset necessarily. But I think now I would add, what if this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? What if I'm a huge success with this and it gives me everything in my life that I've ever wanted? We as humans don't go there. We go to the what if negative side. What if I'm not enough? You know, it's Oprah Winfrey says this. The one question that people ask her, and she's interviewed everyone from presidents to rock stars, and they all at the end of the interview turn around to her and say, "Was that enough?" You know, and that's what we all want. We all have this sort of imposter syndrome at some point in our lives. Yeah. I mean, in fact, the dance world gave me exactly that. It was exactly what I was supposed to be doing with my life. I was a huge success, and it did give me everything I wanted. It was living my dreams. But there's a price to pay, isn't there? I had to work 3 bar jobs in the evenings and weekends to pay for the training. I was permanently exhausted. I think that contributed at one point to me actually breaking my foot while I was training in one of the classes. I was trying to do a particular movement and practice it, and I'd had a long day. I fell badly, and apparently everyone in the room heard a loud crack. But it shows what this meant to me, that I was in the hospital. They'd taken x-rays and they showed me the x-rays, and I just cried. The doctor tried to console me, just saying, "No, it's only a broken foot, you know, it'll be back to normal in no time." But to me, it meant 6 weeks out of action, 6 weeks out of the studio. And at that level, that's a huge amount of time to make up. I managed to get myself back into the studio after 4 weeks and just redoubled my efforts to get back to where I'd been and then go beyond it. It's incredibly hard work. Like I say, most people start training much earlier. And I was, you know, even full-time training, they're in there at 16. I had a lot of catching up to do. But I had this driving passion, constantly pushing me forward, and I had a belief that I could do it. And that really is the key. But finding those two things is the tricky part, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I believe so. And to find the right passion, to find the right path, and to go along with it, with your life, is really, really hard stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel so. And I feel that the man having a passion like you to do anything for your passion is greatly amazing. And like you can reach up to this kind of limitless capacities, which can be the unknown for you sometime at the some moment of the life. But the way you choose to follow your instinct is really hard and tough decision. What you have decided to go along with what you do or what you want to do. But despite of all uncertainty, you did and achieved what you want actually in your life. And I personally believe that a man needs to pay a strong willpower, tough mindset, and also the determination to acquire his dreams. And it perfect suits to your story that only the paranoid survives to achieve the apex.
Yeah.
And I feel it will be interesting to know more that how did you explore yourself towards the rest of your life after struggling this kind of hard days. You worked hard, you achieved some level, you did some kind of work, you broke your leg some point of time. But what after then that, how you proceed ahead with your life?
Yeah, well, in that world, that dance world, just getting work is tough. You know, I mean, getting work is tough everywhere, of course, but dance auditions are a really odd environment. Mm-hmm. I guess the easiest way to explain it in normal terms is it's like going for an interview and having all the other candidates in the room with you answering the same questions at the same time.
Yeah,
absolutely. So if you imagine that, not only have you got the normal worries about answering the right question, showing them your brand, hoping you're coming across in the right as the right person for the job with the passion and that kind of thing, but you've also got these little gremlins in the back of your head that are telling you you're not as good as that person over there. Or I'd literally look around the room and decide which dancers weren't as good as me and which ones were better, and kind of rank myself as I was auditioning. It's impossible not to compare yourself to the other people in the room. And then at the end of the audition, they'd often take somebody that I thought wasn't anything like as good as me, and I got it completely wrong. And you know, it was just something you didn't need to worry about. But it's that prehistoric brain again, getting in the way and giving you these, you know, everything that could go wrong. I mean, you know, auditions for me, they were always packed. They were always full of people and of all shapes and sizes. Some were really great. Some were just getting in the way. I remember going to one audition, and I'd done hundreds by then. And again, it was packed. And I there was a moment where I just sort of lost the will. I just turned around, walked out of the studio, went and sat in a park in Grosvenor Square in London. Mm-hmm. And I just sat on the park bench and just cried. I was just so disheartened. Mm. It was, after rejection after rejection, from audition to audition. And at that point, there was a voice inside of me said, well, you can either sit here and be certain of not getting the job, or you could get in the arena and maybe stand a chance. So I got back in there, danced for around 3 hours or so, and eventually ended up getting that particular job, that audition. And that's why it really sticks in my mind, because that's the one that I might have just turned around and walked away. And it's that moment that you hear this in personal development a lot, that it's the moments just before you hit success that can sometimes be the hardest. And they're often the ones where people quit just before they break through. Then even on that job, so after the exhilaration of getting the job, some weeks later I was due to go out to the job. I damaged my right knee, not doing anything clever, not doing any fancy moves. I think I just slipped on a wet grassy verge somewhere. I went to the job anyway. Every night of that show, my knee blew up like a balloon. I had to put ice on it after every show and look after it all the time I was there, just so I had the strength in it to perform in the evenings. Eventually, after I think it was a 4-month contract or something, that one, I got back to the UK and found that I'd torn a cartilage in my knee. So I'd literally been dancing for all that time you know, chipping fragments off my bone in the process because I was bouncing around on, you know, bone to bone. I had surgery and was out of action again for a couple of months. And the highs and lows in this business are incredible. You know, throughout my career, regardless of what great jobs I'd had as a principal dancer with the ballet company and in theaters on TV and film around the world, every time I moved on from a job, almost every time, I was literally back in the pile of dancers looking for the next job. Oh. You know, in and out of London, doing hundreds of auditions. I took a bus to Paris one time to do an audition over there for an incredible ballet company in Marseille. And the audition was all men. Mm-hmm. And from the very best companies in the world, Kirov, the American Ballet, New York City, Royal Ballet, they were everybody from the whole world. I was actually, at that point, I was outclassed. There was a class above those guys. But it inspired me to get better and better and better. Mm-hmm. During one performance on stage, though, I broke my foot for a second time in my career. I was doing a lift with two or three guys who were picking me up. They put me down in the wrong place. I hit my foot on a huge piece of scenery and broke my foot, managed to dance on until the end of the show. And luckily, the end of the show wasn't too far away. Again, took some time out. So, there are so many stories. I mean, I got an audition. I got offered a job for a 4-month contract. And as soon as I stepped out of the theater, my agent phoned me. Having just accepted this job, my agent phoned and offered me something that was way better money, international travel with some huge TV stars in the UK, an incredible job opportunity. Wow. But I had to turn it down because I believe in integrity. I stuck to the decision I'd already made, and it turned out to be the right decision. Even though that contract was only a 4-month contract, it led to a contract that I went on. I stayed for about 4 years and absolutely loved that one. So, so I believe in sticking to what I think it's what you feel in your gut. It's your intuition, but you've got to be resilient in this, in life generally, but certainly in this business. And this has really taught me this, these rejections, and the highs and the lows have really taught me a great deal about resilience, about having confidence in your abilities and that fierce determination to succeed. It's the kind of industry that you just don't do it if you don't have a passion for it. It gets tough, and unless you've got that passion, you'd just quit and go and do something else that was less painful,
I understand, and it just blew my mind that in spite of all the very passionate and all the competition from a huge companies, you didn't make yourself disappointed, but you just inspired by getting those kind of fixed experience in your life. And this is such an amazing that your story is all about the intuitions, the hard work, and follow the passion. And I believe so. This is the only way by which one can get what he actually want to do in your life. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so right.
Excellent. And hence, okay, so let's talk about the interval of your life, which really gave you some background after getting all this stuff and lead you to achieve your passion for your new career that you have choose about it. And tell me how you craved your path after getting start into this dancing and media industry, that what you have said right now and what you have learned during this entire 12 to 15 years of your career.
Yeah, well, the dance career really it's got a limited shelf life. It's you can't keep putting your body through those sort of stresses for that long. So you've got to find something else to do. And I did, and I dropped into this industry, the events industry, and then filming. And I found that what I was doing mostly was I was taking all the skills I'd learned in my dance career, and I was sharing them with my corporate clients. I was sharing my expertise on how to perform to an audience when you're standing up at a live event and on stage, how you perform to a camera, how you work with cameras, and so on. Mm-hmm. So the transition from dance to the corporate world for me was really quite easy. I think also people underestimate just how many skills, transferable skills, you can get from dance. Mm-hmm. In that it does give you a huge amount of resilience and determination, but also gives you a huge amount of ability to stick with something, consistency, ability to learn a technique and to go back to your training and really stick with that training. And so there's a lot that you can get from the arts generally, that consistency, that perseverance. It's all very transferable into the business world, and it becomes a very powerful message for people in the business world. They like the story, but also they can get the message from it as well,
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That sounds really interesting. And let me say, it's a really outstanding knowledge that I'm getting right now. And I feel that the topics you said is the course, like the what if and all other things about the intuitions, about the passion, about the hard work, about the determination. And you also said one thing, that the point before you getting success is the hardest point of your life. Most of the people drop their career in that situation, but the person who have the resilience and get the resilience to survive in that particular period, they will achieve all they want. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I would like to say, I feel that the topics, I need to write it after our conversation. And this is my tips to all of the listeners that as well, that please be with your pen and paper, write it down, the craziest stuff, which is phenomenal and can help you to develop more about yourself. And you will get it. You will get a lot more information in this conversation. So let's go ahead now. And I got the information that it's all about hard work, passionate, and the dedicated skill development, and also some important routines that can help you to achieve what you want to become in your life. So Gray, I believe that the success is not an easy formula which you apply in your life and can become successful, but it's like the bizarre path that you have to follow in order to get the destination what you want. But as per the people, and the people we at least can define the cycle or the particular lifestyle by which we can attain the success. So from you already got that, you already felt that, the difficulties and all these things. So I want to know from you about some of the key points that you think by which we can become more concerned and aligned to get success in every stage of our life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a lot of the information that I share with our clients nowadays, I kind of learned by accident initially, I suppose. I should say maybe by intuition, really. I didn't set out to learn about mindset. I came to understand it that way afterwards by stepping back and becoming more aware of what I did. I'll come back to the awareness bit in a minute. I think if you spend any time at all in the personal development space, you'll come across people who will give you the keys to success in life. And there'll be things like find your passion, get laser focused, play full out, commit to it 100%, get a mentor or coach, model someone else who's doing what you want to do, surround yourself with the people who are doing it and people who will support you in doing it. Mm-hmm. And all those things are absolutely right. But I think for most people, just knowing what they want to do is the biggest challenge. How do I know if this thing is the right thing? How can I throw my whole self at something, quit my job and all the responsibilities that people have, if I'm not sure that this is the right thing? So I go back to my story. I started dancing in the evenings and weekends while I was still working. So I dipped my toe in. I didn't throw my whole self at it right off the bat. It's about, for me, just finding things that excite you, that interest you, and just go to that space a little bit. There wasn't some amazing revelation that revealed my passion to me. There wasn't fireworks and a big sign up there saying this is what you need to be doing. It was sort of an intuitive thing, I guess, that slowly grew a passion within me. I think we try to put too much pressure on ourselves to know what our driving passion is. And it might not just be one thing either. It might be you have a range of passions and ideas. Pick one. Just go and pick one. Just go to go to the space where that sort of thing is happening. Find people online. I mean, it's so much easier now than it used to be. I mean, I was yeah. running my fingers around the yellow pages in this country. I guess it's different colors than white pages, blue pages, wherever it is. But I was literally calling people up out of the yellow pages and talking to them. And I got a sense from that particular school that we just clicked. They often say that the student finds the teacher, right? And I definitely did there. I mean, I've had a career that was an absolute passion. And now I'm on a journey to live out another passion. And that passion is really to send the elevator back down. I want to help as many people as I can find the kind of life that I had, because it wasn't a particularly well-paid job. It was just something I couldn't wait to get up on a Monday morning to go and do it again, you know?
Wow.
And I think one of the keys to this is actually simply just to ask yourself better questions. I think that the who am I questions are great. Who am I to the outside world? What do they see in me? And then maybe ask yourself, who am I when no one else is watching? That's the true character of a man, as the quote says. We live in a world where there are so many distractions, so much noise. My advice would be just to get into a quiet place where you're not going to be disturbed. Take some deep breaths, close your eyes, just allow yourself to sit quietly for a moment or two, and then drop in these questions. And just allow your brain to sow these questions around a bit. Try not to force an answer. Just, I think if you just get quiet and clear away that noise and distraction, I think eventually the intuition will just come through. And it might take a day. It might take a week, and it might not be a shout. It might just be a whisper at first as well. So it's probably easy to miss. So you might have to go away and do something else and then come back to it. And, so it might take a little while. And you might come back with an answer that doesn't really feel perfect first time as well. It might need a bit of refining, a bit of polishing. Mm-hmm. But if the two answers to the two questions, who am I in the outside world and who am I when no one's watching, if they're too far apart, I think probably needs to be some movement there. You probably need to do something that is going to get those two closer together to make them more aligned, So I think once you have that answer, take some action towards it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, I hear these personal development experts say, take massive immersive action and do it. Go playful out. Go 100%. I think you just need to go and do something with it. Find out about it first of all. Go and do something, because that's what I did. I did a dance class one Tuesday evening, wet Tuesday evening. There were two of us in the class and the teacher, and I went and did it again and again and again. And like I say, it just grew in me. You might as well do something. I always love the Jim Carrey quote. He said at one point, you can suck at something you hate, so you might as well go and try and do something you love. I like that because sometimes you may have to just go and quit your job and rearrange your lifestyle and just go and pursue it. But do something first of all. Just take some action.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome for me that you what you said right now, to find something and to ask these two questions: who I am, what I do when nobody is watching me. And these are really amazing questions that I have ever heard. And to find this answer is actually to find the real why you are here and what's your purpose. You will get all the answer immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also you have said one important thing, that sometime what your passion or what actually you want to do, it's not sounds like a huge massive voice, but it whispers in your ear, in your mind. And that is what really actually the very famous producer Spielberg said in his talk. And I believe that what you are saying is tremendously amazing for me and for all the listeners that find out these questions, the answers for this question, and you will get amazing knowledge, amazing self-awareness about yourself, and you can directly activate the beast mode to achieve what actually you want in your life. It's amazing, man. I'm like clueless that what to do now, but let's move ahead now. And I have heard about the different meditation techniques. As per what you have said, to find these answers, to follow the intuitions. I think meditation can help in this one. And the different meditation techniques, or I can say some of the rituals in the mornings and before going to sleep, that can help you a lot more than anything else. And so do you have any, or if you have any, please let me know about it. And how can I start to implement in my life?
Yeah, okay. Well, yes, certainly I have a lot of rituals. I tend, when I'm coaching people, I tend not to call it meditation, because that is a word that can often put people off a little bit, particularly in the UK, and I guess over in the US as well. It's perhaps more common, in India and so on. I've, mm-hmm. I've certainly spoken to people there, and they're much, much more at ease with it. But here, it's still considered a little bit sort of out there. So so many people will just say, you just need to take a few deep breaths. Well, that's the start of meditation, right? I mean, essentially, you take a few deep breaths and get yourself centered. So that's how I approach it for most people. I think I consider myself to be very lucky. You know, I'm able to live in the moment. The decisions I've made have often been intuitive and very much made in the moment. So many of us live in the future, worrying about the consequences or missing the joy of the experience of now. Others live in the past and spend their time mulling over past decisions and regretting the ones that didn't work out. People tend, in my view, to regret more the opportunities they didn't take rather than the chances that they did, however they turned out. Morning routines, certainly for me, are essential. Whatever that might be for you, however you can make it happen, I believe that everything in life is about priorities. And so if it's important enough for you to grow and to improve yourself, you'll find a way. Whatever it takes to help you live in the moment, that's really key for me. Truly feel the experience of living. And for me, that starts in the morning. Robin Sharma writes in his book, The 5 AM Club, mm-hmm. Own your morning, elevate your life. And I like that, because really it is about owning your morning. If you don't set your intentions for the day, then the day, and more often than not, other people will run your day for you.
Exactly. Yep.
And then your life just isn't yours. You're not living your life on your terms. Mm-hmm. So my mornings are all about consistently setting myself up for success every day. And trust me, I'm no Superman. There's no special sauce here. It's just there's a desire within me to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And it's still a journey for me. I still fail at times. I don't always get everything in my morning sequence that I want to. But I'm kind to myself. I allow myself to fail, to be vulnerable, to try again the next day and then the next. And it's also about trying things out and figuring out what works for you. So I get up at 5:30 a.m., right, which sounds ridiculous to some people, right? But it's better than the 5 a.m. club for me.
Yeah.
You know, and Robin Sharma says the 5 a.m. till 6 a.m. is the golden hour. For me, you know, I tried 5 a.m. I didn't feel 5 a.m. was quite good enough. So I went 5:30 and that works for me. So it's still a time of day where there's less noise in the world. There's less distraction, most of which we put there just to silence that voice inside us that's telling us that we're on the wrong path, by the way. So if you get a chance, Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, he talks about this in that book. Often, many of us have tried on a whole load of personalities when we've been growing up, as if they were sort of outfits to be worn. And we've settled on something that felt right at the time. And we've embedded those patterns into lives that fit in with what the world expects of us. And now anything that doesn't conform to those patterns, we try to silence by doing things, by being with people, watching TV, binge watching Netflix, or getting hooked on social media, or drink, or smoking, or drugs, or buying stuff that is designed to distract us and keep us busy so we don't miss the life that we should be living.
Yeah,
it's quite deep stuff, but this is really about becoming more self-aware. Okay, for me, the more I can get away from that noise and distraction, and that is, you know, for me, meditation, but for most people, just sitting quietly in a room where they haven't got the possibility of someone just bursting in without them knowing, you know. Mm-hmm. The more quiet I can get, the more space I can give myself, the better I can hear my intuition, my gut telling me what I need to be doing. And for me, like I say, that at the moment is sending the elevator back down. I've had this life where I quite literally was living my dream life. you know, traveling around the world, dancing. I know that incredible feeling of following my passion. And now I want to try and help others get there as well. And it starts with becoming more aware of who you are, what you truly want in life, you know, setting ourselves up each morning to go out and get it. Mm-hmm. So every morning, find that time for yourself. Get centered. Ask yourself, if I only had a few more days left on this earth, would I be doing what I'm about to go and do? And then be quiet and listen carefully to your inner voice, your intuition. I went to a Tony Robbins event a few years ago, and he talked about finding your compelling reason why, and then taking massive action. And it does, to live that life, it does take that. But it also takes listening carefully to your intuition and be kind to yourself. It doesn't always shout, like we said, and take some action before you take the massive action. People find it difficult because they think it's going to take a huge amount of effort. Just start small. Start small and move the needle 1% every day. I have a journal that I use that has that in the journal. What can I do to improve my life by 1% today? And often you need a guide or a mentor to help you get there, because finding that passion is trickier than we'd like it to be, isn't it? And taking that action is often harder than we'd like it to be. But it does take that sort of committed, consistent action every morning.
I believe so. Yes, you're absolutely right. And this, the thing that you have described in this answer is phenomenal, that you need a quiet place, a peace of mind, so that the sound comes inside from you, that comes the inner sound of yourself that come outside and can say something to you, and you can follow that passion in your life. And it sounds amazing. And yes, I'm a huge fan of Robin Sharma, that he has described about the 5 a.m. club. And I personally believe that waking early in the morning is really, really helpful to find actually the true potential of the human being. And it sounds really exciting, the methods and the techniques that what you have said and you are using it right now. And it's really important and helpful for me and for all of the listeners. I also catch your words that you said you have attended Tony's event, Tony Robinson's.
And yes.
And it's such an awesome that I believe you have learned a lot of things, the amazing experience with that event. So can you please share some of the experience? Because I want to know some of the things, what you have learned, the knowledge that you have acquired and implemented in your life. And you believe that it's really helpful for us.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Robbins is really the guru. He would say he's not, he doesn't call himself a guru, but he is, he's the guy, the go-to guy in personal development for me, certainly. And the Unleash the Power Within events, the UPWs he does, or he was doing around the world. There were 10,000 people at the XL Center in London, and it's kind of like a rock concert. It's loud noise, there's dancers on stage, and it's exactly that, only instead of being inspired by the music, you're inspired by the thoughts and ideas that he's giving you from the stage. It's a four-day intensive event, so you're there at 8 o'clock in the morning through till 11 o'clock at night, and it used to be him for 4 days solid. He now does 2 days because he has apparently he's been shouting so much that he's done something to his vocal cords, which means that the medical guys have said just take a bit of a break. But it's about the self-awareness. He will get you to go back to your past and understand why you do some of the things you do. There's a lot of NLP, I think, in what he does, but he never calls it that. He just and he does it in a very powerful way. He does it in quite a challenging way as well. So you've got to be prepared to go there and ask the questions of yourself in quite a serious way. I do it in a much more much quieter way than he does. He will just get you to really, scream and shout these answers at yourself. And then he'll get you to come to the present and then take it to your future and get belief about what you want to do, and then get you to take that massive action. And it certainly inspired me to move this thing forward more. I was certainly inspired to pass these messages on in a much wider, broader sense than I already was just with clients, but actually to get out into the world using social media and the internet just to share those messages much more widely.
Wow. And that's why I can understand that you did all the thing and maybe then after some time, after you getting all the achievements, you thought that that was something really what I want to do. And I did it unconsciously, but it was consciously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I believe so. And what you have said, as per the Tony's event and as per your experience, that you have a journal in which you are writing the 1% increment in each day is really phenomenal, I believe. So that's 1% can change. And I have seen that picture, 0.5 raised to 10 times. And yeah. 1.5 or 1.2 raised to 10 times, it's a massive difference. It's a huge difference that you can by putting just 1%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe so.
It's about taking that small step. It doesn't scare you. It doesn't put you off. You know, I've just completed my 100th Instagram live. I've been doing them for the last 100 days.
Wow. It's awesome. Yeah.
And if I'd thought I've got to do this for 100 days coming up, that might have been quite daunting, quite overwhelming. And I might have found that voice in my head, that chattering monkey going, what are you going to talk about for 100 days? Who are you to be out there telling people this stuff? And, you know, you just have to take the first day, don't you? And then do day two and day three and go from there.
I believe so. And it's really awesome. So our listener wants to know that what the name of your Instagram account so we can follow on it.
Oh, that's just my name, at Graham Wadsworth. There's nothing fancy about it at all. It's really just me sharing the thoughts and feelings that I have around all of the things that I've learned over the past, you know, 20, 30 years. So yeah, at Graham Wadsworth on Instagram. And yeah, there I am.
Okay, that's really awesome. We will follow so we can get every day some of the anecdotes from you so we can improve our life very, very efficient way. And I believe and I think that I have the ocean of the knowledge right now and I don't know from where to start my swimming inside in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So great, let's do one thing. Can you please make it simple for me to understand that how should I have to spend my days, because it's all about to spending the days and then your day describe your week describe your months and months for the years. So how should I have to spend that things? And what are the quick and easy ways for the everybody, not like a gurus, for the everybody to make more simple, more conscious and more amazing life that what I want to become?
Yeah, sure. Easy. I'm just kidding. It's if it was easy, right, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
I think self-awareness is key for me. That's, I've said it before, shutting off that noise and distraction and just learning to listen to your intuition. Mm-hmm. That for me is the start of it all. And if you only do one thing, I would say that would be one of the key things to do. Ask yourself those important questions. Who am I in the world? Who am I when no one's watching? And those answers will come to you when they're ready. You know, we've all got that chattering monkey in our heads that will look for the negative for any decision we make. You know, most people live in that part of the brain and it's a depressing place to be, living in that lost, less, never state, you know, it'll just lead to more of the same. I've got less than them. I've lost, you know, my relationship, my house, my job, whatever. I'll never be able to do X, Y, Z. You know, that mindset will always lead to more of the same. So we need, I believe, to grow our gratitude muscle, grow our resilience muscle, grow our visualization muscle. It's a great place to start for any morning routine. So speaking kindly to yourself, writing a journal, visualizing the things you want in your life, and that is drawn directly from the asking the question and asking your intuition, what do I want? You know, and just then just listening intently and listening for that whisper, and then taking that answer and visualizing those things in your life, or in a sense, trying to manifest them. I mean, I am quite a big believer in law of attraction and setting your intention out into the universe and asking the universe to deliver for you. Whatever you think is a higher power than yourself, I think that's regardless of your faith, beliefs, or whatever. If you visualize what you want, I think the world and the universe will manifest around you. So that's, yeah, writing a journal, visualizing, and truly connecting with your intuition, your intuitive desires and beliefs, and then being grateful for the things that you have. You know, it's very difficult mm-hmm. to be in an angry state or a frustrated state if you're in a state of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I think all these things are important before you get to a situation where you need them. So most people, certainly in, I guess, the Western cultures where I spend most of my time, will often wait until they get made redundant or there's a health scare before they become, or before they try and start to become emotionally strong enough to deal with those situations. Mm. So that's why a morning practice, a morning ritual like this is so key, because you're building up those muscles so that when those things do happen, those shocks, those changes in your life that come at you, you are more emotionally strong, and you can handle when life throws those curveballs at you. So you're using better language in your head. It's not always the loss, less, never, but it's seeing the world, seeing things as they are rather than worse than they are. Mm-hmm. We have an expression in the UK. I don't know if you know it. It's creating a mountain out of a molehill. It's essentially making the situation out to be worse than it is. And we can all do that. You know, we've all got that part of our brain that will take us there. Mm-hmm. And it will take us there all the time. You know, not even though I do this all the time and I'm doing my ritual every day, I've still got that voice in the back of my head saying, oh, are you enough? You know, are you good enough? Are you really, you know, like I said at the beginning of this, the series of Instagram live videos, mm-hmm. you know, my mind was saying, who are you? Who are you to say this stuff? You know, there are people out there who know more about it than you do. Well, maybe, but there are also people out there who know less about it. And they're the people I'm sharing for. And my message is my message. It's a collaboration of all the other messages that I've learned over the years. And because I'm a different messenger, maybe my message and the way I say it will hit a different audience. So we all need to, develop those muscles, the resilience, the gratitude muscles, the visualization, before we need them, so we're strong enough to deal with what we're faced with. The we are enough is quite a biggie, actually, isn't it? Just spending time reminding ourselves of our strengths and capabilities. You know, that monkey will often feed us that imposter syndrome. So reminding ourselves on a regular basis of what we've achieved in our lives and what we can achieve. You know, mm-hmm. our opinions matter, and we can do whatever we set our minds and our hearts to believe in, you know.
I personally believe that. And because the mind is really, really amazing and have the potential that we even don't know about. And that's why it is really important to set the mindset before you going deep into your physical work. You need to set your proper mindset, what you actually want and what should be your life looking after some of the years. And that's what you have said. It's really important for us. But I have concern about the famous thing that you have talked from UK, that you said some of the sentence I really didn't heard before it. So can you please explain me more about it? I don't actually know about it.
So this creating a mountain out of a molehill. So the mole is a small black furry animal that digs holes in people's gardens. Mm-hmm. And I guess they are a UK phenomenon. They're probably around the world. I don't know much about moles, to be honest, but they're very, very small piles of dirt that you mm-hmm. see in your garden. And of course, a mountain is a huge thing. And so, you know, if you're faced with a problem that is just the size of a molehill, mm-hmm. And you are creating a mountain out of it, it's when we catastrophize things. So we make a catastrophe of something that actually isn't a catastrophe, it just feels like it at the time. There's a very key thing here that probably is worth explaining, that it's our thoughts that determine our emotions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will probably think that our emotions come first, and it's not. It's our thoughts. A very simple example, maybe. Two young lads living next door to each other, both football mad, okay, and it's mm-hmm. raining outside. One of them is upset because he wants to go out and play football, but the other one next door, mm-hmm. he's very happy because his dad had asked him to go and wash the car, and he can't wash the car because it's raining, so he gets to play inside on his Xbox.
Wow.
The situation is exactly the same. But because they're viewing it and their thought process is just slightly different, mm-hmm. one is sad and one is happy. But the situation is exactly the same. So it really is about how we process our thoughts that generates the emotional response to it. And like I said, that a lot of the expressions that we have in our, certainly in our language, seem to be drawn a little bit from the fact that people already instinctively knew that our mindset was much more powerful than many of us were giving it credit for.
Yep.
You can do anything you put your mind to. It's a very common expression in the UK. Mm-hmm. You know, mind over matter. And that's yep. mind over matter really takes you down into the sense of, you know, the quantum field. And again, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a lot in his book. The fact that the mind can control the outcomes because of quantum physics, and it gets really very deep into the science of it. But yeah, our minds are, like you say, they're so much more powerful than many of us would believe. And once you've got the belief, you really can do anything you put your mind to.
I believe so. And the person, Jody Spencer, you said, he is phenomenal. I understand that. And I have some of the video and have think about some of the books of him. And it's really phenomenal. And then you what said about the famous sentence from the UK. I believe that you are continuously saying about the responses. You didn't say it's a reaction, it's a response. And people have to understand what's the reaction, what the response is. When you respond to something, it means you are consciously aware of what you are talking, what you're speaking, and what's your action going to the situation, what happened already in your life. But when you react, it doesn't mean that you are conscious about it. You are reacting with your emotional, whatever the thing outside affecting on your thoughts. And it's really amazing. I can understand totally what you want to say right now. And So till now we have covered all of the things from your life, the experiences that you have acquired, and also got your amazing life story and the values that you have developed in your life. Now we have a very, very interesting session as a rapid question answer session, and in which I will ask you some of the quick question, and you just need to me a quick easy answers if you want. So now let's get start ahead. And the first question is, what is your morning routine?
Oh, nice quick answer. Not so rapid fire answer, I'm afraid. This is pretty intense.
No problem. You can go ahead with that.
But here we go. So up at 5:30 a.m., keep the mobile phones out of reach. I never watch the news at all. I only ever read the news app maybe once a day around lunchtime. I want to start my day with my version of the world, not somebody else's. So that means no social media, no news. I wake up and I smile. Mm-hmm. It sounds really simple. It sounds really odd sometimes, maybe, but it's a great way to start the day. It's difficult to be angry or upset if you've mm-hmm. got something that's lingering from the day before. Smile. It's a great way to start the day. Have a glass of water. That's always a good start for the body. I make a cup of tea for me and my partner, and then I will read for maybe 30 to 45 minutes. About sort of 6:30, 6:45, I get ready for my Instagram live video. So I work out what I'm going to say. I rehearse it. I set up it's literally my mobile phone and a little microphone. And I'll do my live Instagram every morning at 7 a.m. I used to record the Saturday and Sunday ones on Friday while I was just starting this, but I actually do them all live now, pretty much. So mm-hmm. I'm a producer of content now, of social media content, more than I am a consumer of it. And that was a big change for me. 7:15, I'll meditate for about 10, 15 minutes. So it's 7:25, I'll visualize long-term, short-term goals and how I want my day to be. I'll do some gratitude at that point, and also how I can improve my life by that 1%, that journaling piece. And then about 7:45, I'll work out for half an hour. Mm-hmm. And then 8:15, have breakfast, listening to a podcast, listening to your podcast, writing. I'm trying to learn Italian as well, so I'll do some stuff while I'm having some breakfast. And then 8:45-ish, I'll get ready for my day. I tend to start working around about 9:15. It's my business, so I've just sort of set myself time. It's about 3 hours, isn't it? So it's pretty intense routine, but it's not for everyone. But at least some of it should be a part of your morning, I think.
Yeah, you are saying it like the things which is really important for the morning routines, because when you start the morning with the gratitude, with the attitude of to getting learn something more and to forward what you want actually in your life, how you can make your day perfect with your all the to-do list, and that's what I actually want to do. Yes, I follow that routine also.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful for me to learn that, to think about, to get some juice and to celebrate the gratitude. And then the next question is, how much time you spend to sleep?
Oh, that's much quicker. 7 hours. I go to bed at 10:30. Actually, I go to bed usually about 10:15, and make sure I'm asleep by 10:30. And I wake up at 5:30 and straight out of bed in the morning. There's no snooze button in my life.
Wow. Wow. And that is actually when you will get a proper sleep, when you get up without any snooze button. Wow. I understand it. That's amazing. And so now this question is really important for me and for all the listeners, because we already tried to get all the list of the books that the people are reading right now and that make impact on their life. So what's your favorite book and author?
I tend not to read. I tend to do Audible because I find that's much easier, and I can get through books much quicker with that way. So for entertainment, we have a well-known comedian, author, and raconteur here, Stephen Fry, who's written a couple of books about Greek mythology, and I'm very interested in that, all those sort of creationist theories. So he's written Mythos and Heroes, and they're two huge books. But I've read them both, and they were great books. In terms of educational and brain empowering books, I guess Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. It can get a bit deep into the quantum physics part of it, but there's also meditation pieces in there, and quite a lot about the patterns of our habits and that kind of thing, which is really interesting. And also, I'm very interested in the Dr. David Hamilton's work, How Your Mind Can Heal Your Body. I'm a bit of a sort of amateur science geek, really. I like things that I can prove again and again. So those two guys are currently my favorite books and authors. So.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't read that, but now they are on my list right now, and I'm going to buy them today.
They are good books. They're good books.
Yes, sure. And the final question of this talk is, what's your ultimate goal in your life?
Ultimate goal in my life? Well, that's pretty easy. Right now, it's to send the elevator back down for as many people as I can.
Okay. That's really, there's really noble that you are doing to elevate others as well, while you have the experience about it. And I would like to say, smashing, outstanding, super, mind-blowing and unbelievable lessons we have today from Graham. And from his story, we realize that you can sculpt yourself into anything you want. It doesn't have to be Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, or even Graham, but to see that the power of both mental and emotion, to see in that the malleability of the human spirit, and to see the power of the true human capabilities lies inside you. That is the story of Graham. And I hope that you guys have so much incredible things, ideas, lessons, the methods, and the rituals from our today's conversation. So Graham proved that the leadership, the bold decisions are the key factor of the life and you want to make, because it can lead you towards some uncertain ways of the life, which will reveal your hidden talent and skills. Even you are unaware about it sometime, some point of your life. And by his thoughts, the decisions, his ethics of the life and creativity in every aspect of life made him uncommon human being. And we have phenomenal anecdotes from his life. Today, we got amazing knowledge from his life as well. And I personally made a huge note from this episode, which will provide me some of the important lessons when I will go through it and can modify my life in order to acquire better version of myself. I also would like you to make notes and start following and give us feedback by email that how you feel when you have applied Grace techniques, tricks and thoughts. We have much more stuff for you when you like, subscribe and follow us. We as an Expert Deal podcast dedicated to deliver world's most fabulous people that can lead you to get out of your comfort zone and teach you how to survive in that uncomfortable period of your life. Thank you, Graham, for delivering your life, your thoughts and the anecdotes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description. So please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.